You're listening to the weekly sermon podcast from Liberty Family Church. For more information about our church, head to the website libertyfamilychurch.net.au.
Well, today we're actually wrapping up our Faith and Work series. Is anyone sad about that? Who's enjoyed it? Yeah, it's been really good. Isn't it a weird thing that the thing that we spend most of our lives doing, or our 9 to 5, whatever it is we do for work, we don't often talk about in church when we actually should, shouldn't we? Anyway, so today what we're doing is we're wrapping up our series by exploring work in retirement, making the most of our twilight years here on earth, purposefully partnering with God each day to work through Holy Spirit's power to see His beautiful creation flourish and reflect Him, and all people everywhere blessed richly. What we're going to do is we're going to start by watching a video together. Now, this video is a very famous video of a very young John Piper recorded at a Passion conference many years ago that speaks straight to today's topic. So for those watching online, we're going to be muting our live stream audio. But the link is available in the YouTube description if you want to go and watch that right now, or you can watch that later on. Thanks, guys.
You don't have to know a lot of things in order to make a huge difference for the Lord in the world. But you do need to know a few things that are great and be willing to live for them and die for them. People that make a difference in the world are not people who have mastered a lot of things. They are people who have been mastered by a very few things that are very, very great. If you want your life to count, you don't have to have a high IQ and you don't have to have a high EQ. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have good looks. You don't have to be from a good family or from a good school. You just have to know a few basic, simple, glorious, majestic, obvious, unchanging, eternal things, and be gripped by them and be willing to lay down your life for them, which is why anybody in this crowd can make a worldwide difference, because it isn't you. It's what you're gripped with. But one of the really sad things about this moment right now is that there are hundreds of you in this crowd who do not want your life to make a difference. All you want is to be liked. Maybe finish school, get a good job, find a husband or a wife, a nice house, a nice car, long weekends, good vacations, grow old healthy, have a fun retirement, die easy, no hell. And that's all you want. And you don't give a rip whether your life counts on this earth for eternity. And that's a tragedy in the making. That is a tragedy in the making. About 3 weeks ago, we got news at our church that Ruby Eliason and Laura Edwards were killed in Cameroon. Ruby Eliason, over 80, single all her life, a nurse, poured her life out for one thing, to make Jesus Christ known among the sick and the poor in the hardest and most unreached places. Laura Edwards, a medical doctor in the Twin Cities, and then in retirement, partnering up with Ruby, also pushing 80, and going from village to village in Cameroon. And the brakes give way. Over a cliff they go, and they're dead instantly. And I asked my people, is this a tragedy? Two women in their 80s, almost. A whole life devoted to one idea, Jesus Christ magnified among the poor and the sick in the hardest places. And 20 years after most of their American counterparts had begun to throw their lives away on trivialities in Florida and New Mexico, fly into eternity with a death in a moment. Is this a tragedy? I asked. It is not a tragedy. I'll read you what a tragedy is. I've got a little article here from Reader's Digest. You don't read Reader's Digest, I know that. But there is a generation who does. This is a tragedy. Title of the article, Start Now, Retire Early, February 1998. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy, and there are people in this country that are spending billions of dollars to get you to buy it. And I get 40 minutes to plead with you, don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream. The American dream. A nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting shells as the last chapter before you stand before the Creator of the universe to give an account with what you did. Here it is, Lord, my shell collection. Look, Lord, my shell collection. And I've got a good swing. And look at my boat. God, look at my boat, God. Well, not for Ruby and not for Laura. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it.
How about we just pray and then we'll invite the panel to come forward. Lord Jesus, all of our series has been about living purposeful lives for your glory. And God, today as we reflect on retirement, as we think on perhaps what is common, he was talking about an American dream, that ain't just an American dream. That's the great Australian dream too. But God, we don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to waste one moment. We don't want to work hard for years and years and years to retire early and then just put the feet up. That's not your heart. That's not what you want for any of us. God, help us, guide us, show us what it means to live purposefully for your glory in retirement, to work for you in retirement, to bring hope, bring light, bring love into a world that is desperately in need of those things. Lord, today, as we reflect on this topic of retirement, we pray, God, that you would speak through each of our panelists. And God, whether we are retired now and this is our current reality, or whether we're young like these people were that John Piper was preaching to, whatever it is, may you speak to us and stir our hearts, challenge our hearts, so that we don't buy that great Australian dream. Because it might be a great Australian dream, but it ain't a kingdom dream. Not at all. So God, help us, guide us, speak to us. We want to follow you, and we want to be glorifying you as we work for your glory through every stage of life, and today as we reflect on retirement. So speak to us, we pray. We're listening, we're here. Would you guide us in Jesus' name? Amen. All right, if we can have our panelists come forward, that would be great. Let's give them a hand as they come. Perfect.
Hello.
You're on. You guys are on. So welcome, everyone.
Thanks, Joel.
That was a bit of a heavy intro. So don't feel intimidated by that. The point in sharing that was just to encourage all of us that, you know, we shouldn't waste our lives. We've only got so many years, whatever season we're in.
I'm not 80.
You're not 80 yet. Still got work to do, Ray. That's right.
Absolutely.
Just check the brakes on your Chev so you don't go flying off a cliff.
She'd be right.
Well, for the benefit of people who might know you guys, those watching online, can you just briefly introduce yourself, share something that you enjoy, and very quickly, just quickly, what's retirement look like for you?
I saw Christine in the supermarket and she said, I don't have to do any more talking because I'll be here. So looks like I'm going to do all the talking.
So you're Ray?
Yeah, I'm Ray Jansen. And I love classic cars. I'm self-funded retiree, worked since I was 15 years old. I love classic cars. I love gardens. And I love mud brick houses, alternative houses. So if I cruise in the Chevy, go to a beautiful garden in a beautiful mud brick cafe with my wife and Donna, well, that's a good day.
Good man. Excellent. Thanks, Ray.
Hi, I'm Christine Pierce, and I'm a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and all those things, of course. Yes, I just enjoy life in retirement. After seeing that, I'm thinking, well, I like doing all those things. I love travel. But when I travel, there's God's on over the top of it. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
And with I even collect shells.
Nothing wrong with shells.
Exactly. So it
but if that's all you've got to show God,
right.
You might be in a bit of strife.
So it's about that other stuff. I like table tennis. I volunteer and like cards and entertaining friends and doing coffee with friends and things like that.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Thanks. Is it powered off down the bottom? Yeah.
We didn't have microphones in our day, Joel.
I can yell.
Just pass it. Oh, yeah. There you go. Now it's on.
I think I'm on now.
There we go.
I'm Marilyn Learmakers, wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. I've been retired since 2015. That's a while now. And, probably just as busy as I was back then. I enjoy doing some volunteer work. I enjoy pottering around the garden, looking after grandchildren, looking after family members and catching up with friends and supporting friends, some of whom are going through tough times. So there's always plenty to do.
Absolutely. Excellent. Thanks, Marilyn. So we've been reflecting on the invitation that God gives to his created people, you and I, to join him in his beautiful creative work, bringing order, expressing creativity, generating beauty in the world for the benefit of others. How do you see retirement as being a partnership with Jesus in this kind of thing, where you bring order, bring beauty, bring benefit to the world? What is this? We've touched on a few things, but what does it look like practically for in your context? Sure.
First of all, I'd like to say that it was a huge challenge actually working out what it really meant to me, because it was something that I hadn't considered very much. And so I ended up writing it down because I had reams, absolutely reams, trying to work out where I stood.
Just hold the mic a bit closer.
Bit closer?
Yep.
Okay, all right. God, I'm a work in progress. A lot of these things that I will tell you, I don't always follow all the time because, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm okay with that. So I think about relationships more because I have more time. So things aren't really based on making the money to survive. So relationships take on a little bit of a different aspect. It's more about listening, looking into people's eyes, looking at their needs, and being a listener rather than an organiser and a talker, which I probably was in my former occupations. I really do feel I'm an encourager, and I think that for me to be able to bring joy into people's lives who are perhaps a bit in a dark place. I think, so that's my whole life, you know, that's my entertaining, that's my travel, that's my table tennis or volunteering at the op shop or whatever. It's everywhere I move.
Yeah, that's great.
And, yeah, just one more thing is I'd like to say, just to be able to show them, if they're in a dark place, that there's beauty even in the smallest things, like the shells or keep going back to that. But, you know, they can look out the window and see the breeze blowing in a tree or something, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, brilliant, Christine. And maybe some of the giftings God's gifted you as well in terms of your art and...
Yes, I put that into a different category, sure. The art, because I just wanted to speak about
No worries.
Relationships in that part.
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
All right. It's a bit similar to Christine. In working life, I guess I saw the things where I worked were about building community and church relationships and so on. So I founded two national programs that did that, Kids Hope and Link. And it was kind of having that influence, a broader influence, if you like. But in retirement, there's more time to invest in family and friends, and I think it's a real privilege to have the opportunity to be very much part of the lives of my two little grandchildren and my three big ones and great-grandchildren. I really enjoy having that input and the role modelling and showing them what God's love looks like.
Yeah.
Those things are really important to me now. Well, they always were, but they have a bigger relevance now.
Mm.
And also with friends at the age that we're getting to, I've got friends that have been friends for 50, 60 years and some now going through some tougher times. One dear friend, been a very close friend for over 50 years, now has dementia. And... you know, I visit her every week. It's not easy, but it's serving. It's bringing something into her life still. And I just think that's something God calls you to love and support people through whatever stage they're going through. And even when it's not so reciprocal anymore because of where they're at, to still be that loving, caring friend to them. Mm. So, you know, God just keeps giving opportunities in the world around us, in our families and our friendships and community, for us to continue serving. I would hate the idea of cruising for my life. I mean, it might be nice to go on a short cruise I could handle, but for cruising for the rest of my life and gathering shells.
Yeah, I thought about a couple of weeks, all this stuff, Joel. And it's hard to put in category, you know. It's like work. Oh, well, I work every day. If it isn't gardening, it's working on the cars. If it's not that, it's helping someone. So it's very hard. When you're grading roads, well, that's it. You're doing this and you're encouraging this and you're helping people, but when you're retired, you've got 1,000 jobs. Mm. So it's very hard to... My arms should stop going like this, but anyway. So work's very hard, trying to find out, you know, but there's a lot of things. Like, God puts a lot of people in my life to help out, mostly blokes. And I'm just open to it. I just take them out, encourage them, help them out. Car cup mates, they open up to me sometimes and take them out. A few Christian brothers I take out, and just whatever God wants me to do for that week, well, I'm open to it.
Absolutely. Well, there's some really a wide range of great examples, really, of what work looks like in retirement. It, as you said, varied, a million different things that consist of work, but they're all things that bring beauty and benefit to the world. So thanks for sharing those, guys. So we talk about, you know, kingdom living, building God's kingdom, furthering the kingdom of God as Christians, as we go about our everyday lives. How do you think retirement gives you opportunity to do this? Anyone can answer.
Well, Joel, before I retired early. Yep. I was very blessed to retire early, and I praise God every day for my retirement. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, if you want me to retire early, well, I'm going to work for you. I'm going to have my heart open where you want me to go."
Yeah.
And at the moment, I don't want to be locked in somewhere, because I get used here, there, everywhere. Encouragement to people, coffee with people, someone might ring up, help them out, whatever. It could be concreting, could be fixing a car, could be taking person out for a coffee for a bit of encouragement. Mm. So I'm open to that. So, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. That's great.
Another battle, I suppose, but this last night I just got the fruit of the Spirit as being the basis of kingdom living, mm-hmm. Being able to be the light in the dark places in people's lives, to be able to show them. I've written them down because I can never remember them all. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So it's about living with a servant heart, I think. In our Women's Connect group, I just really feel so blessed, because we talk about life with God as the head. And we can practically help each other. When one of us is speaking something to one person, God's busy working on the rest of us and showing us places where all that is relevant in our own lives. So, I went back to the first bit too. It's about being a listener And also that means listening to the Holy Spirit. Mm. Just if you listen and wait and don't speak out immediately, you'll find that it's not... Well, I find that it's not my opinion that comes through. It's more likely that I've allowed God to have his way in me, and that's certainly a work in... Yeah, it'll never end in me. But, yeah, thanks.
I guess having time to still invest through volunteering is my way of still being part of the kingdom building. Mm. So I've been involved with HICI, Link, still Kids Hope, and also just other volunteer things at church like creche. But being able to sow time into those things and maybe not in the way I used to, but in different ways, and that might be, well, in one instance, I mentor the program coordinator of Link Yarra Valley and encourage her and support her in what she is doing. So there's time to still invest in the volunteer kingdom activities. Mm. I really appreciate that in retirement.
Yeah, brilliant. So we talked in other contexts around the creational goodness, like seeing the goodness of creation in different things, whether it's raising children and seeing the opportunities to invest in young lives, to see them discover things, to see them grow, or whether it's like in a school context, an education where you're building capacity in kids, you're helping them to discover how God's uniquely wired them, promoting curiosity, deep critical thinking, bringing people together, you know, all that sort of thing. That's what I guess creational goodness could be defined as. So what creational goodness would you say exists in your work in retirement, and how does your work generate beauty for the goodness of others?
Well, in everything what God wants me to do, I'll do it,
yep.
Regardless, in some ways, not all things. Anyway, well, I think, well, I've got a lot of invest. I invest in Nevaeh. Nevaeh is my brother's granddaughter, and she's here at Sunday school. And I take a swim in, and we have a every Tuesday, myself and Donna, and we invest time and value. And she sleeps over, and we look after, take her to school on Tuesday, and we take her to church. Now she loves Sunday school, so that's a really good investment for a little child. Mm. Time. Jeff reminded me of T-I-M-E, spells love to a little child. So that's what myself and Donna are doing. And now I praise God that she's going to Sunday school, and that's a real answer to prayer. And another way I spend time, a lot more time with my mum. She's 92. I take her out, take her to appointments, I take her out for lunch, help her out where she wants me to help. So I sort of invest my time with my mum, and I really precious time with my mum at 92.
Mm.
So that's a really good blessing in retirement, is time. Before I didn't have time, I was always out of time. So now I've got time to invest in a lot of things, garden, people's lives, and church and whatever.
Thanks, Ray. Christine?
I was thinking about this from the point of view of creational goodness, and it struck me that creation is an ongoing process. When I nurture the grandchildren, or still I may get a word in with the children or whatever, but to watch them grow into people who understand life, to be able to impart godly wisdom, it's a little bit difficult because they don't know God yet, but he uses everything, and that's, I'm really comfortable with that. I've had to learn that over the years, just to leave it to God, because as he's creating pathways, really, to change them as well. Also, this is where I thought I'd, you know, speak about my art practice. For years I've been an artist, and I like the example of the chaos, turning chaos into order, that you spoke about, and I just looked at all my art materials sitting around and an empty canvas board, and that could be construed as being chaos, and then actually the work coming together at the end of the day. And the work that I do is mainly landscape now. I did do a lot of portraits in the early days, but the result is the same. I've been really so thankful that God gifted me with this gift of being able to depict his beauty, to see beauty in every face that I ever painted, even the ones that others may have seen in a different light. So that sort of that also goes through into everyday living. You know, I've learned to accept people for who they are a lot better. Not all the time, as I'm a fallen person like we all are. And just to see people's faces when they view my work, it is, I know that I've blessed them, God's blessed them through my work, but the blessing comes straight back to me, because it just, yeah, it's such a joy. And I thank God for that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Thanks, Christine.
For me, it's like Ray. It's really investing in lives, in the lives of my grandchildren, in the lives of friends, in the lives of some who don't yet know God, but you know are on a path. And yeah, it's the creational goodness of God, just seeing relationships change, seeing people change, seeing people soften, seeing the little ones learn about God. That's the best thing to invest in.
Excellent. And that's it. And all that work, like what I'm hearing is it's not complicated. It's just using the things before you and being invested in them and then allowing God to bring about beauty. And then that's actually has a flow and effect of encouraging others or making others smile. And all of that is creational goodness contributing to that. Yeah. So this is what the opening video was kind of getting at. You know, it's easy in our Western world to see work as something that we do ultimately for our own good, you know, that we went through those working years, that we earn money, we put it away in our super fund to look after ourselves, to feed our families, hopefully to be generous with it, but also for this idea of a comfortable retirement on a big boat, collecting seashells. Nothing wrong with seashells, just putting it out there. He just happened to use that as an example. So how does the way that God works, and we reflected on how God, in creating anything, he did it with joy, to see joy experienced by others in enjoying it. How did that challenge and guide you in how you live your retirement? And here's the kicker, I think, for you guys in this season, how do you resist the temptation to kind of settle back and live out your days in a comfortable retirement, collecting seashells on your trawler?
Shells are good. We're servants of God. I think that's what underpins everything we do in retirement. That we're not doing it for ourselves. We put ourselves in a position of less importance.
That's good.
I think that's a real challenge, but it's where you're happiest anyway. Like if I get to a stage where I become selfish or start thinking about this or that or the other, then I lose my peace. it's not right inside me. The Holy Spirit isn't having his way. So that is sort of like a hook into me that I know that the road I'm going down is not the right one. So go back and just realise that, when I have that peace that is undeniable, then that's leaving God to be the head of the whole situation.
Sure. Thanks, Christine.
How do I resist it? Quite easily, because it's part of my core belief that we are, if you like, saved to serve.
Yeah.
And that is what God calls us to do in whatever capacity that might be. So even, you know, as you age and you're a bit limited perhaps in some of the things that you can do, there are just so many opportunities to serve God by serving others. That would just be an anathema to me to sit back and put my feet up and watch Netflix all day. Although sometimes it's okay.
I've got written here, people God puts in my path are always seem to be happier whether we can get together for coffee, meals or whatever. Correct. What questions? Oh, I was number five. I thought that. What was the question again, Joel?
So how does the way God works for the good of others guide you in your how you work in your retirement, and then how do you resist the temptation to settle in retirement?
Oh, number five. I have to be open, to be free, to be led by the way God leads me. I've got a lot of friends in the car scene, in the church scene. Blokes in the church are not completely different. They're just, you're a lot more open to mates in the body of Christ, that's for sure. I try and encourage them in that. Just spending time with my Christian brothers. I take a few Christian brothers out here and there. I love heading up men's group, you know, like men's breakfast and that. But it's not just men's breakfast, it's beyond that. You might just say, oh, yeah, right, that's men's breakfast. But my heart is there for the blokes, you know. Just to build relationships and in the men's group. So that's my heart. And just to encourage the blokes.
So it sounds like all of you resist the temptation to settle by not having a whole lot of time to settle. keeping the diaries full, catching up with people, investing. That's great. So how, you know, if we're talking about preparation, we all got to prepare. Fail to prepare, we're preparing to fail. You know, how do you practically prepare yourself to be in that head, in that heart space, to serve people every day in your retirement? Is there, you know, there are specific things you pray or time that you spend with God? How do you keep on track with that?
Oh well, every morning I read God's word and I pray. But now it's about time. You know, I used to get up at 6 and get going. 6:30 and, oh, Steve, I've got to pray. I'll pray in the car, you know, or I'll pray at work. So you set yourself the time. It's so much better. And I think the relationship with God, it's stepped up since I've retired. It's just stepped up heaps. Not heaps. But I was pretty good before, you know. But a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. And yeah, I pray. I pray for specific needs, people, situations. You know, you can't pray for situation. Oh, well, Lord, should I buy a drumstick or a cornetto? You pray for, you know, stuff that is relevant. I pray for my car, you know. Sometimes something goes wrong with my car, I pray about it, mate. Anyway, I've got to talk about my cars and stuff later and gardening. But anyway, yeah, I pray, commit it to God every morning, and I love it. I love spending time with God every morning, reading his word, and it just refreshes my soul.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
That's what it does. Before, I didn't have time.
Yep.
Especially when the kids are small. Oh, it's truth. There was no time at all. Anyway, God bless little children.
Same as Ray, really, just setting aside some time in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, look, just being thankful for where I am, what I have in my possession, to be used for him, not just for me. I think one of the other preps that happens through the day is being prepared to let go of what I have planned.
Mm.
That's a really big one. We talk about having extra time, and we also hear a lot of retirees say they never have enough time to do what they want to through the day. That is my case as well, but it's because it's quite common to change direction midstream because there's a need somewhere, you know, grandchild, family, whatever, friend, something or other, and mostly, nothing is so important that I can't let it drop.
Mm.
And that's just such a blessing in retirement because, you know, when it's tied up with other people's expectation in the workplace, it just doesn't work like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I really thank God for retirement in that way because it's taught me so many things that I couldn't have learnt whilst I was earning a living. Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, similar. I pray every morning, commit the day to God, tell him what my plans are, but I'm quite open to his plans too, and then I can change my plans. So it's just, you know, having that time and that flexibility to respond where there's a need, that certainly helps in retirement, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And, you know, it's that centering yourself on Jesus, but that gives you the opportunity to then not be so self-focused but start thinking about, okay, who are you putting on my heart to serve today? Yeah. How am I going to join with you in what you want to do today? And, yeah, that's a very practical way of keeping on track with the Spirit, setting up in the right way and then keeping on track through the day, continuing to ask him what to do. Yeah. Excellent. So why don't we bring it to a close. So what final words of encouragement, this is the last question, what final words of encouragement would you give to spur people on to see their retirement years for what they are? Like really, they're valuable years. They're a potential, the best years of your lives. What would be the encouragement that you would give to people to see that they are valuable to God and they're valuable to people as well that you come into contact with? What would be some encouragement? Don't collect seashells or don't just collect seashells. Live for more than putting the feet up on a trawler.
I personally think that, in my personal life, I think that you've got to look in your own backyard. I don't have to go to Egypt or anywhere else, you know, in my heart or just whatever is around me. I've got time to do that where God wants me to encourage people, mainly people, isn't it? That's what God leads us to encourage and build up. Just locally. Don't try to complicate the things. And another thing I think of too is that some people work too long. I think some people work to their 80 or 90 in their paid work. My I think it's a structure of God that you should, well, I'm going to let go of my work to place my energy somewhere else, and it gives a younger family an opportunity in your position. Mm. I think I've trained up a grader operator now. He's doing my job. He's in his 30s. He's getting a bit more money and so on and so on. Les, King and Steve, there's a good example of that. Les is retired now. Steve's taken up the reins, blessing Steve's family. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes in our Western society, we work too long. Mm-hmm. I think that this is only my opinion. I think that we should let go of our jobs, especially blokes. They, you know, they think work's number one in their lives. Mm. Let go of their jobs. And
it's not a bad thing too, because like touching on what John Piper was talking about with those two missionary women, they were continuing their work as retirees in other contexts. So it's not like you necessarily would have to give up what you love, but it might be that by giving up the formal structure of being stuck in a GP clinic in the Twin Waters in America... meant that that then freed her to be able to continue to use her giftings, continue to invest in areas she loved without those constraints on her.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just like football, father-son rule sort of thing, you know. If you have a good footballer, have a look at Gary Ablett, senior and junior. Well, there you go.
Hand it on. Cool.
Keeping track. I think it's really worthwhile... remembering that just because you get to an age, God's got more plans than what you can ever imagine in front of you.
Yeah.
Things that he wants you to explore. He's been training you up through all your life. He's made us who we are with the characteristics, the loves, the desires. And as we become older, he imparts wisdom to us. And so we're better equipped in a way to move into other areas that we may not have been equipped to do earlier.
Mm.
So it's a transition. It's a changing of our lives into a more, I don't know, into something that we're not expecting, I suppose. You know, sometimes it's pretty easy to dodge down that path and start to just enjoy something for enjoyment's sake. But I just keep remembering this thing, and this keeps me on track. I don't know where I heard it, but I'll read it out. It says, God loves me too much as I am. He loves me just as much as I am, but loves me too much to leave me where I am. He has more plans for me, and he wants me to follow them right till the last days when I can't follow him anymore, but can't do the work anymore.
Yeah, that's good. Thanks, Christine. Marilyn?
My advice would be that just as you get older and retire doesn't mean God's call on your life to love your neighbour as yourself has changed. Mm. That always continues, and that retirement's not the end. It's just a new beginning on a new path, a new part of your life. But there is just as much work that you can do to serve God as there ever was, only now that you might have more time for it.
That's brilliant. There's some really great reflections there. To serve locally, give yourself locally, give yourself where you are. Everything else that's been said is just some beautiful thoughts. Thank you so much, guys, for all that you've shared. One thing that I would add is that I love all that those in the retirement years have to offer to younger people. And I don't know how many times I sit with older people and they share things, and I just want to soak up what they've got, all the experiences, all the insights. And so my encouragement to those in a retirement years is to realize that you've got plenty of things to offer people younger than you, younger in years, younger in the Christian faith. You shouldn't, yeah, please don't ever feel, as Marilyn said, that God's call's somehow been taken off your life now that you've hit 70 or 80 or whatever. You have got so much to offer, so much to contribute, and there's plenty of younger people out there who would love to have spiritual mentors or people older than them getting alongside them and encouraging them. So to quote John Piper, don't waste your retirement. Don't waste it. Invest. Continue to love God and love others in those years. Yeah. How about we pray? Thank you, God. Lord, we thank you so much for the joy of serving you, Lord. The joy of serving you literally from the cradle to the grave. Like that is what it is. We don't one day kind of get there and then just put our feet up and not work for your glory. We work to our last breath, our dying day, God. But it's not a chore, it's actually a joy. Because all of a sudden, especially in retirement, from what we hear, there's more time now to think about utilizing that time for your glory. Who can I invest in? What could I do today that would be an encouragement to this person? What sort of things could I get involved in to share your love practically with the world around me? We thank you, God, for all the wisdom that these guys have shared with us this morning. And we pray, God, that we would not only hear it as their story, but we would apply it and make it a part of our story and ask ourselves questions, sit with you with questions. God, what am I, if it's retirement, what am I doing with my retirement right now? Am I living a kind of intentional retirement for your glory? Or perhaps have I just fallen into this kind of Australian dream retirement of just cruising through it and waiting until I die? Like, what a tragedy that would be. And Lord, if we're younger as well, God, would you prompt us to say, well, what of this can I hear now and then prepare for right now to work towards that so that when I get to that age, I'm on fire to continue to serve you as well, Lord. Whatever it is, God, would you guide us? Would you speak to us? Would you encourage us? We want to be people who work in all seasons for your glory and for yours alone. We thank you, God, that we follow Jesus, who did not come to be served, but came to serve and to lay his life down for the good of others. May we follow Jesus in that sacrificial servant-heartedness, and would you lead us each step of the way, Holy Spirit, whether we're in the parenting years, whether we're in the traditional workspace, or whether we're retired, Lord, may we live for your glory and yours alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.